You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Two Peas, another bonus episode. You know, we do a lot of these bonuses. They really are kind of taking over. They're infiltrating the feed. Andy and I getting together once a month to put out our regular ep, but I do get guest hosts to come on with me frequently, and we have fun talking about some fun top five bonus topics. So it's a little interesting backstory to the group that I have here with me today. I have two people joining me today. These two folks, you're going to hear their voice a lot in January. You're going to hear them on this episode, and then they're going to be on possibly the week after, if not a couple weeks after, because these are the two folks that are going to come on with me next month and do our best movies of the year. 2018 is coming to an end, so we got to count down some stuff, you know what I mean? So we're going to do our top five movies of 2018 on that episode, but today we're doing something fun because we're counting down our top five biopics. Biographical movies.
Yeah.
Let me introduce my two guests that I have with me. This is Gerald, and joining me, you just heard her a couple weeks ago, Amanda. We have a show together now. You're definitely aiming for that Five Timers Club. I gotta look up those numbers.
I'm close. This is number four.
I gotta get you. Oh, you already looked it up. Okay, so I guess that'll be five then when we do 2018. So you'll be there. But Amanda from Amanda's Picture Show A Go Go just came on with me and did our top five Christmas songs that are underheard. And now she's back to do biopics. Amanda, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
What's happened in the last week since we recorded?
I've been babysitting. How's that?
That's good. That's good. You getting snow up there where you are?
We did like a couple weeks ago, but now it's been rain.
Yeah. Wesley is local to me, and he's our other guest, but we had snow here last week, and we're in the restaurant business. Both of us are, actually. And it's just a nightmare, man. I mean, I love the snow, like, for my kids, but from a work standpoint, I just stay away, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Wesley's here. He's from Via VHS, but he's got some kind of underground stuff in the works, man. I don't know if you want to tell everyone what you've been doing, but let's welcome Wesley. How you doing, brother?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. So what's going on with you? I mean, Via VHS or what's going on?
No, I actually just recorded an episode of Via VHS last night. So
awesome, brother.
January Via VHS returns. The underground stuff, obviously, I have my Pornhub account, where it's BDS. No, I'm just teasing. I've been doing some Wesley Wonders. I do these traveling videos, but I've been doing less of that because I got to stay home more these days. Plus, I've been snowed in like you have.
Yeah.
This ugly North Carolina, wet, nasty, just ugly mess. It's just stupid, honestly.
I hate it. I hate it when it snows in North Carolina, man. It's like the apocalypse, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody just freaks out.
But the news is so funny, though, because they treat it, it's just like Snowmageddon 2018. Everyone's going to die, no milk and bread within 50 miles. It's fun.
It's crazy, man. Every winter, the same thing. We never learn our lesson.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to do biopic films today. Do you guys say biopic or biopic? Because I say biopic. Is that okay? Is that what we're doing?
Biopic. Whenever I hear biopic, I like the...
Sounds like a science
English
project.
English degree, right? In me just like shudders, like, oh, what is this?
You're doing biopic too. That's what you say. Yeah, Wes?
Yeah, I say biopic. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
My computer made a noise.
No, it's all good. You know, people do the biopic and I'm like, Amanda, I'm like, what? What are you saying? And then I'm like, oh, they're talking about biopics. Okay. So yeah, biographical movies, you know, so movies based on you know, a true story, a true event, a actual person in history, you know, those types of things. Vice just came out. When this episode airs, it would have just come out on Christmas Day. I'm really looking forward to seeing that one. Willem Dafoe was just in one that was a biopic about Vincent Van Gogh that I thought was amazing, called At Eternity's Gate. I saw a couple weeks ago. So biopic's a thing, man. I mean, every month or so, we get a couple of those. And there's a lot of cool kind of figures in history that make for good movies, I feel like. And when I was making my list, one of my, if not the best, in my opinion, best movie of all time is on my list of any genre. Ooh. So it falls into this category. How did you guys dive into your research? I mean, was this an easy topic for you, or were you kind of struggling with the parameters a little bit? Amanda, how about you?
Well, for me, honestly, I found it not necessarily the research difficult, because, you know, I thought of several, but then, like, as I was researching, I found even more. And I almost feel like we could have had a top five biopic for each decade.
Yeah,
almost.
You could. Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wesley, what about you, man? Was this an easy one for you to put together?
I think for me, I had to decide what I thought was a biopic, because there was a few of them that were kind of iffy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know if I really should add that in there. And there was a couple of them I omitted at the last minute, because I'm like, I'm not going to qualify that one. But y'all might decide it is one, and it works out just fine. So other than that, I'm really happy with the ones I picked. So,
you know, what I would say too, to that point, to your point, Wes, is that, you know, biopic is a thing, right? But almost all biopics fall into another genre. In other words, biopic's not like its own separate genre. You know, it's either a comedy biopic or a drama or an action. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of falls into musical. Yeah. Music biopics are huge. So I'm kind of with you that, you know, maybe the number one category for a couple of mine is not biopic, but at the same time, it does tell the biographical story of an event or a character, you know, so on. So I decided to include those. So I'm excited too, man. So I tell you what, let's get started with our top fives, guys. So we're counting down our top five movie biopics today. Amanda, you're the lady on the panel, so I hope you're prepared, but I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
And I'm gonna jot these down. So what was your number five, Amanda?
My number five that I ended up landing on is Marie Antoinette from 2006, starring Kirsten Dunst as Marie Antoinette, and directed by Sofia Coppola.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Great film. A lot of great costume design and cinematography in that movie, from what I remember. Just so beautiful to look at. Love Kirsten Dunst. My wife looks like Kirsten Dunst, so I love that too.
Ooh.
she gets that compliment a lot. Like, hey, do you know you look like Kirsten Dunst? And she's like, yes, I know. So what do you love about Marie Antoinette?
I mean, a lot of what you said, like the cinematography, the costuming. I love the direction from Sofia Coppola in that movie. The soundtrack is amazing. Mm-hmm. She does a lot, like, with the soundtrack. It's you know, it's not necessarily period music. It's like modern music,
right,
going on. And I like that it's a biopic about a woman, which, as I was going through, we get a lot more biopics about men. Surprise.
We do. I noticed that as well. In fact, you're going to make me look at my list now. I wonder if I have any. Ooh, you might be mad at me. All mine are dude related. I do have a couple of my honorable mentions, though. I can maybe move around a little bit. I didn't do that on purpose.
I'm coming to the rescue on that one.
Okay.
Good.
But yeah, Marie Antoinette, great film. I haven't seen it in several years, though, but it's a good movie. Yeah.
I tried to, because there are so many great biopics, I tried to go with ones that I have watched repeatedly or like really, really love, instead of like, this is the very best one in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I got it. Well, you make me want to go back and rewatch it. Have you ever seen, this is completely stupid, I can't believe I'm bringing it up, I might edit it out. Have you seen Peabody and Sherman, the cartoon film, the animated film, Amanda?
I have not. I've seen like clips when like I think my sisters were watching it. Well, one time.
I just think, I can't help but thinking of Marie Antoinette now, or thinking of that movie when I hear her name now, because there's a, you know, scene in that movie, because the whole premise of that film is kind of like a Back to the Future type deal.
Yeah,
where they go back in time, and, you know, different adventures, and that's how he learns about history. His dad, you know, Mr. Peabody, will actually take him back to when it happened, and, you know, they go back to Marie Antoinette's time during the Revolution, and it's a really kind of over the top animated character that she portrays, eating all the cake and everything, you know. So I always think of that. But anyway, I didn't mean to soil your pick. It's a great movie.
No.
Peabody and Sherman's a good flick too. I didn't put that on this list, but it's a good movie. All right, Wesley, you ready, man? What's your number five, brother?
I'm going to go with a film from 2004 that I've watched countless times. It's about one of my favorite music artists. I'm going with Ray.
Good one, man.
Yeah.
Georgia. Georgia. The whole day through. Just an old sweet song. Keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I didn't pick Ray, and I think I saw it come up a little bit on some list. Mm-hmm. But remind me, did Jamie Foxx, did he win for that, or he was just nominated for that?
You know what? I think he did. I think he won. Yeah, best performance by an actor in a leading role. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I remember that, obviously. That performance was really the standout in that movie. What do you love about it? I mean, this is your number five biopic. What was the year on that, Wes?
2004.
Okay, 04. I haven't seen it probably since then, to be honest. So remind me, what's great about it? I mean, what do you love about it? You said you watch it frequently, right?
Well, it's, first of all, Ray Charles, one of my favorite artists. Absolutely adore Ray Charles. It's not only just the music, but first of all, Jamie Foxx, like you mentioned, does a phenomenal job. He's incredible in the movie. I like also a lot of the areas where it's filmed, because you know, actually the School of the Blind and Deaf where he was at in St. Augustine, I've actually been by that school several times. That's so awesome. It's just a beautiful movie. They don't just try to sugarcoat his issues either. I mean, he was kind of a man whore. He was kind of a jerk at times, but he also went through a lot, and they kind of make it make sense. They don't make it okay, but they make it make sense. So I really, really love the film. So yeah, I had to go with Ray.
The music biopics are cool too, because, and I'm not saying this about Ray, obviously, but even if the movie's shit, you still kind of enjoy it because the music is so good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people kind of said that about Bohemian Rhapsody, which is the Queen biopic that just came out. But I loved it personally, but a lot of people say that, like, you know, the best thing was the music.
I'm one of those people.
Are you? I don't know, man. I didn't get all the hate on it. I dug it, man. But I think it probably, to be honest, is because I do love the music so much. You know, like if I wasn't a Queen fan, I probably wouldn't have liked the movie, you know, so I kind of understand the criticism there. But all right, so Ray is your number five, Wes. I like it, man. And you know what? Now that I'm looking at my list, I don't have any music biopics. Can you believe that?
Well, I'm actually shocked by that.
I'm kind of surprised. It's hard to miss them.
Well, I have four on my honorable mentions, but I don't have any in my top five. Which is weird, because I was telling you guys I just do 10 now, and four of the 10 are music, but they're all in the honorable mentions. But okay, my number five, it came out in 2002, so around the same time frame that you were talking about with Ray there. It stars, in my opinion, two of the best actors working today. I would say these two actors that are kind of co-stars in this movie are two of the top five actors that are actively working as we speak. So it's from 2002, also one of the greatest directors, but it's a film called Catch Me If You Can.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
It's you know, it's a biopic, but it's a kind of a mystery kind of drama slash action movie. It's got Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio as the two actors I was referring to, and obviously Spielberg at the helm here. I mean, you know, I mean, that is a dream team. That is a dream team. And Frank Abagnale is the story. And I like, you know, biopics that kind of tell the tale of a real person, of like a normal person as opposed to a celebrity. And I've got one more on my list that also does that. You know, in other words, we wouldn't know who Frank Abagnale was if it weren't for this movie, that kind of thing. And I kind of am drawn to biopics like that. You know, it often makes me think, could somebody make a biopic about my life? God, I hope not. Would not make it far in awards season. But, you know, what if they did? You know, what if I picked out the most interesting things of my life and somebody tried to turn that into a 90-minute kind of story, you know? And some of these are exciting, you know, and Frank Abagnale is, I didn't know who he was prior to the movie, and I love biopics that kind of introduce me to new people and new things in history. So Catch Me If You Can is my number five. You guys into that flick?
Yeah, definitely. I had it on my extended list, but I thought one of you might mention it, so yeah.
It's a good film, and I kind of cheated last year, too. I had a couple people on last year. We did tangential Christmas movies, and I put this one on the list, and I was kind of cheating a little bit because there's only maybe half the movies Christmas time, you know? But I don't know. I think of Christmas because he made the phone call to Tom Hanks on Christmas Eve every year, and they were both so lonely on Christmas, and all they had was each other, which was kind of a cool plot point. You know, they were each other's best friend, but also enemies. So I don't know. It was a really cool movie. And I do, whenever this one's on, you know, TNT or whatever, I definitely stop and watch a bit of it because just the acting's phenomenal. The music's great. It's a period piece. I love that kind of 60s vibe when pilots were really cool and, you know, walking through the streets of New York, signing autographs. And, you know, airline pilots don't get that respect, you know, today. So it was a really cool time. And I thought they captured that really well. So that's why it's my number five. And that swings us over to Amanda for your number four. What do you got, hon?
All right. My number four, this might be a little controversial, but it came up listed as a music biopic on a couple lists that I saw. So I was like, can I cuss?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, fuck it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, sure.
So number four for me is my all-time favorite musical, The Sound of Music.
The hills are alive with the sound of music, with songs they have sung for a thousand years.
Oh, okay. I would not have thought of that as a biopic, but go ahead.
Yeah, because it's about Maria von Trapp, and you know, it does follow her, you know, before she gets to the von Trapp family, and it is a very, it's not as like an incredibly accurate biopic, but like I over the summer took a film class about musicals, and there is a whole subgenre of musicals that is just the biographical musical. And they're largely sort of fantastical, like they take a lot of liberties, but it is, you know, like you were saying, most biopics have another genre with them. So I was like, I can't not put it on there if I'm seeing it on other lists of biopics, because I love this movie so much.
And it's a musical. What did you think of the, it was it NBC that did the live action one?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it was NBC. That was a pile of shit.
I didn't watch it. That's what I heard, though.
I live watched it and hate tweeted about it with my mother-in-law a few years ago. It was so bad, largely because Carrie Underwood should not have been cast in the role of Maria von Trapp. Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm like,
I didn't see it. We own the original on Blu-ray, and I've seen it a few times. This would have jumped out at me if we were doing top five musicals as an option, but I definitely would not have ever considered it a biopic. Just didn't pop in my brain, but obviously a classic.
It is, and like I knew, I was like, this one is not your traditional biopic, I guess, like drama biopic. Sure. But since that is like a subgenre of musicals also, I love it, and you do learn, like I watched it on the big screen this past summer, and it was really interesting to watch it with a crowd, and especially in our current political climate, to know that people in Columbus, Ohio are still gonna like cheer when people rip up the Nazi flag and stuff. It felt real good.
That's awesome. So far, you got me wanting to revisit Marie Antoinette and The Sound of Music. My wife loves The Sound of Music. She used to work backstage on different stage shows and musicals, and she does like she did costume design, and she was a dresser backstage. She hasn't done it since my son was born, but this was always one of her favorite musicals. She loved it, and that's why we own it, because it's one of her faves. So I'm sure she'll watch it with me. That's a good flick. Good pick.
It's,
there.
It's a good one around Christmas time too. Just
That's true. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Well, a surprise pick from Amanda there, but I like it. The Sound of Music is your number four. Wesley, you're up, man. What's your number four, buddy?
And I'm going to keep it the same theme. We're going to talk about some airplanes. All right.
Okay.
And we're going to stick with Leonardo DiCaprio, and we're going to go with Aviator by Martin Scorsese from 2004. So.
Yeah, man. Great pick. Tremendous performance. I don't remember, you know, Amanda, I should mention Amanda really, I mean, the Oscars is, well, she used to have a show called The Oscars is My Super Bowl.
That was the original title of my podcast. Yeah.
But so any Oscar trivia you might know, but I don't remember who he was up against, but I remember thinking, I can't believe he didn't win the Academy Award for that. It took forever. Was it The Revenant?
I think he lost to Jamie Foxx, actually.
Oh, he lost to Ray. Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
But The Revenant was when he finally won, right? Which was just a couple years ago. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Which I was like, why did he win for that one? He was in so many better films. But
I know. I mean, just I agree. Tremendous. I already said I think he's one of the best actors working today. But Yeah, go ahead, man. I mean, what's your memories of The Aviator there? Why do you love it so much?
Well, the first time I watched it, it tripped me out because I didn't realize Howard Hughes was colorblind. So I'm like, why are the peas blue? Why is the grass blue? What's going on? But it made sense later on. But yeah, I mean, first of all, the cast, Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Blanchett, Kate Beckinsale, John C. Reilly, Alec Baldwin, Jude Law, Willem Dafoe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, so many great actors. Great period piece. Great cinematography. You know, obviously about Howard Hughes, famous filmmaker slash, I guess, aviation magnet, I guess would be the best way to describe him. But very interesting life. Went from, you know, sleeping with all these starlets to pissing in bottles in his room alone. But it's a great movie. So definitely watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, awesome, man. Love that movie. You a big fan of that one too, Amanda?
So this is two for two that Wesley has mentioned that I have not seen.
Oh really? Well, I definitely, you know, Ray, I don't remember quite as well, but Aviator's, it's Scorsese, so I love it. But yeah, you got to watch it. It's a great movie.
Yeah, we own it on Blu-ray because my husband really loves the movie. And it's been one of those, like, I know I'm going to love it because I really like Scorsese. And so I've just, like, kind of been waiting.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because I can't get my it's hilarious. My wife will not watch it. And she loves Scorsese. She watches everything Scorsese, but she will not watch Aviator every time I get her to try it. So it's kind of
interesting.
Alternate boats we're in.
Is there a reason or is she just not in the mood?
I think it's she's not in the mood. I'm like, you watch The Revenant, he gets, you know, raped by a bear, you'll watch that, but you won't watch The Aviator. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's
something. So relatable, right? So relatable.
Yeah exactly. There was this one time in Yellowstone. I don't want to talk about it. But anyway, yeah.
some stuff got out of hand in the souvenir shop. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, good pick, man. And DiCaprio's getting a lot of love already on this episode, yep. Which maybe some more later, too. We'll see. But my number four. Okay. So there's a little story behind this. I had to put it on my top five. It's one of my favorite movies of all time and one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. Now, you know, filmmakers have the twilight of their careers and then they kind of dip off. It's just what happens as they get older. This definitely happened with this gentleman, but this was his prime, early to mid 90s, everything he put out. And there's actually one more on my honorable mention that actually came out the same year as the one I'm about to name. I didn't even realize they came out the same year, same filmmaker. But the film I'm going to put at number four is from Oliver Stone. It's JFK from 1991 is my number four. You guys seen this?
I have not.
Okay. Wes?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. Not enough to say I've watched it all the way through.
Well, I'm an American history buff. You know, yeah. I'm a U.S. history buff. This came out and I want to say I was a junior in high school, maybe a sophomore. And we were really kind of diving into U.S. history for the first time as far as studies were concerned. And we were discussing, you know, the JFK assassination and the conspiracy in school the same time this movie came out. And the movie's rated R. So I remember my history teacher couldn't get the principal to approve the entire film. So he just showed us clips from the movie. And then I was so intrigued by the clips that we saw in class on VHS tape that I went to see it at the movies. I got my dad to take me to see it and we went to see the movie. Now it's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an epic, but, you know, Kevin Costner to date, this is probably one of his top three performances to date. Yeah. And really the biopic is not so much about JFK. It's about Jim Garrison, which is the prosecutor that was involved in trying to shed light on the conspiracy of the assassination.
The truth is the most important value we have, because if the truth does not endure, if the government murders truth, if we cannot respect the hearts of these people, then this is not the country in which I was born in, and it's certainly not the country that I want to die in. Tennyson wrote, "Authority forgets a dying king." This was never more true than for John F. Kennedy, whose murder was probably one of the most terrible moments in the history of our country. You, the people, the jury system sitting in judgment on Clay Shaw, represent the hope of humanity against government power. In discharging your duty and bringing the first conviction in this house of cards against Clay Shaw, that's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Do not forget your dying king.
And Jim Garrison's portrayed by Kevin Costner, who's amazing. Sissy Spacek plays his wife. I believe she got nominated for supporting for this. She's tremendous. Tommy Lee Jones is kind of the villainous character, is just awesome. You got Gary Oldman portraying Lee Harvey Oswald. Whenever I think of Gary Oldman now, I picture him as Lee Harvey Oswald. This is one of the first movies I saw of his. And just a great cast. Oliver Stone has always been one of my favorite filmmakers. I'll mention him later on our honorable mentions as well. But, you know, he loves the biopics, man. I mean, Oliver Stone is always diving into historical moments and people and kind of putting his own spin on it. And like I said, this movie is not really about JFK. It's more about Jim Garrison and the conspiracy around JFK's assassination. But that's my number four from 1991. And I would say if you have an entire afternoon, sit down and watch it. This is a long one.
I'm like you. I love American history. I'm obsessed with it. And I just, for some reason, could not get through it. But I do remember Kevin Costner being really great in it from what I watched. And I don't think I saw too much of the Gary Oldman as Lee Harvey Oswald. But it was impressive what I saw.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great cast. And, you know, I just love Oliver Stone's kind of, you know, all his movies really kind of take on that kind of fly on the wall kind of vibe, you know, where you feel like you're seeing something you're not supposed to see. And he really does that in JFK because it's a lot of, you know, conspiracy theories and it's a lot of kind of backdoor meetings and that kind of thing and cover ups. So it was the perfect setting for him to kind of do his thing. But yeah, I love Oliver Stone, man. So I had to put that one on my list because it falls in the category of biopic. So JFK is my number four and we're moving right along. Amanda, you are up for your number three. What did you decide on?
All right. Number three, I went with I, Tonya.
Okay.
Which is, you know, called the Goodfellas of figure skating.
I mean, when I was a kid, did you ever love me or anything?
You think Sonia Henny's mother loved her? Poor fucking you. I didn't stay home making apple brown Bettys. No, I made you a champion. Knowing you'd hate me for it. That's the sacrifice a mother makes. I wish I'd had a mother like me instead of nice. Nice gets you shit. I didn't like my mother either, so what? I fucking gave you a gift.
You cursed me. You're a monster.
Spilled milk, baby.
I was going to say another Scorsese mention without him even being involved.
Yeah. I really loved this movie last year. And I also, so I don't like sports. The only sport I follow all the time is figure skating.
Oh, cool.
So this, like, I just was like nerding out so hard about all the figure skating of it all. But it's a great film and it obviously is following Tonya Harding, but it's really interesting the way it is filmed where you do have like the talking head, like interviews like you would like in a documentary style. And I think it's also a great film that deals, yes, it's dealing with figure skating and the whole, you know, Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan debacle and all of that. But it also is a movie that is dealing with class in America in a really interesting way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I really like this one, too. Where did you, out of curiosity, where did you put this one on your 2017 top 10? Do you remember?
I can pull it up. It's in the same.
I like this one a lot, too.
It was my number six for 2017.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You know, one of the reasons I like this one, and this happens a lot, is because I remember when it happened. I'm 43 now, so it's starting to get to the point where they're starting to make movies about shit that was happening when I was, you know, of age. Which, you know, when I was in high school, everything was from like the 60s and 70s, which was cool. But I mean, I don't remember it. So I would have to ask my grandma or my parents, like, hey, do you remember when this happened or whatever?
Oh, yeah. And it was 1994. I was 8 years old. It was all I wanted to watch and like talk about was what was going on with the Olympics that year and all of the stuff with Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan.
It was great. Margot Robbie was great. I like how,
fantastic.
Yeah, you sympathize with that character, with Tonya Harding, the character in the movie. And they did a real good job at that.
If I could have voted for the Oscars last year, she would have had my vote for Best Actress.
Yeah. Remind me who won that year? Oh, that was Emma Stone, right?
No, that was the year before. It was Frances McDormand last year for Three Billboards.
Oh, that's right. Well, that was also a great performance.
I agree with you, actually. I think she did better, too.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I mean, I love Frances McDormand, but I also was very lukewarm on Three Billboards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, like, Three Billboards did not even close to make my top 10 last year.
Oh, okay.
And so, but I thought Margot Robbie was just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. She was good. I love that movie. I didn't see it when it came out. In fact, I just saw it, I want to say maybe 6 or 7 months ago for the first time when it came on either HBO or I can't remember, but it came to one of the, you know, premium channels and I watched it. And it was really good. I mean, it definitely has that Scorsese vibe, you know.
It does.
Which I like, that style of filmmaking and the Tarantinos of the world and that kind of thing. But it was good, man. Margot Robbie, great performance, great movie. I, Tanya, is your number three. All right, Wesley, what'd you decide on, man? What's number three for you, buddy?
I'm going to go with a film that somebody called like the film of our generation. I guess it was last decade's film of the generation, but it's not that old. I'm going to go with The Social Network. Love that movie. All the performances in it are great. The dialogue is phenomenal. I think Aaron Sorkin wrote that as well. So, of course, it's really, really good. And I just like it moves at a really, really fast pace. And I like most of the time, there's an exception on the list that I have coming up, but most of the time I think biopics work best when it focuses on a specific area, like a couple years, like a particular time frame where you get to know the characters, but you're not trying to move too far ahead in their life and you're just, you know, focus on one particular point. And I think you get to know Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, all the other players in the and the Facebook creation scandal. So I love this film. I watch it quite a bit, actually. And David Fincher, too. So
yeah, this is a crossover for me. So I'm not going to dive in right now because it's coming up on my list. So we have our first crossover that I know of. Amanda, anything? You like The Social Network? You've seen that one, obviously.
I have. I'm also going to wait on this one.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. We'll move right along. But obviously, I agree with the pick, Wes. Great pick, man. Social Network number three. And that brings us to my number three. So my number three is another one of my favorite filmmakers. In fact, you know what? I just realized something, guys. Epiphany. All my top five movies are my top five filmmakers. Oh, I just realized that. Yeah. I got one movie from each of my top five. Not necessarily in that order as far as director's concerned, but I just realized that. All right. So my number three is from 1994. It's a film by Tim Burton called Ed Wood. You guys seen Ed Wood?
Long time ago.
Probably a decade. I actually have it planned to cover for the podcast sometime in 2019 for the 25th anniversary.
Well, let me know when you do. And if you need a guest, I would be happy to come on because I haven't seen it in way too long. It's always been one of my faves. I own it. Like I said, I already mentioned Tim Burton, one of my favorite filmmakers. Just I love his whole catalog. I mean, he's done a couple ones that I was like, eh. I still liked him because they were him, but, you know, they weren't, you know, high caliber like a lot of his movies. You know, Ed Wood is just a picture of a man who, you know, if you guys haven't seen it, you might not know. But, you know, he was a filmmaker that made B movies, a lot of B horror movies, and they were shit. You know, they were low budget. They weren't filmed really well. He didn't have a lot of talent as far as filmmaking is concerned. And over the several decades, he's become kind of a cult figure, and his movies have kind of survived because of they're so different and unique and, quite frankly, shitty. But the fact that they were able to get produced on such a high level and not have such great content is amazing. You know, he was good friends. The filmmaker Ed Wood in real life was good friends with Bela Lugosi. And Martin Landau plays Lugosi in the film. And he won the Academy Award for that, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
and
he won Best Supporting Actor.
You know which movie of yours I love, Mr. Lugosi? The Invisible Ray. You were great as Karloff's sidekick.
Karloff, sidekick. Fuck you! Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit. That limey cocksucker can rot in hell for all I care.
What happened?
How dare that asshole bring up Karloff? You think it takes talent to play Frankenstein? It's all makeup and then grunting.
Bella, I agree 100%. Now Dracula, that's a role that requires talent.
Of course, Dracula requires presence. It's all in the eyes and the voice and the head.
That's right. That's right. You seem a little agitated. You want to go outside and get some air?
Bullshit. I'm ready now. Roll the camera.
Yeah, just a great, just a great dude, man. I mean, I love Martin Landau and everything I've seen him in. And this is definitely his shining moment in kind of the twilight of his life there in 94. Johnny Depp playing Ed Wood. Of course, he collaborates with Tim Burton all the time, so that's not a surprise. But yeah, it's just a great movie. It's filmed in black and white. It is full-blown 100% Tim Burton. It's very Burton-esque in that way. And it just tells the story of this guy that's just trying to make movies, you know. And he just, you know, it's kind of like, and Wes, I know you're a big Back to the Future fan, but it's kind of like if George McFly in the 50s was taking those alien stories and trying to make them into movies, you know, you would get the sense that they wouldn't be very good. But, you know, you wouldn't be able to look away at the same time. And Ed Wood kind of had that quality. And, you know, you can go back and watch some of his movies on YouTube. And the first 5 minutes, you'll be like, how did this ever get made? What a piece of shit, you know?
Well, is it Plan 9 from Outer Space? Yes. Like the worst movie ever.
Yeah. It is. It is. And it has a very huge cult following, probably because of that. But
have you listened to the Bela Lugosi series on You Must Remember This?
Podcast? I have not. No.
Karina Longworth, who's like a film historian and everything, she does the You Must Remember This podcast. And last fall, there was a whole series on Bela Lugosi and the guy who did Frankenstein.
Boris Karloff?
Yeah, Boris Karloff. Mm-hmm. So there was a series on both of them. But there's one episode that specifically talks a lot about Bela Lugosi and his friendship with Ed Wood. I think you'd really enjoy that.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And it's the best part of the movie for sure. You know, the behind the scenes stuff, like behind the camera, not the actual movie making that Ed Wood was doing in the movie. Because it's like a movie within a movie. You know, it's like him making movies in the movie. But his friendship with Bela Lugosi was really cool. And Bela Lugosi really embraced him because of their friendship, even though he knew, you know, what he was doing was not necessarily to the caliber that he was used to in his career. But his career was really over at that point. And Ed Wood came along at the right time that they were able to kind of help each other. So I love it. You know, it's a niche. It's a niche piece. You know, you have to be interested in that type of thing. And, you know, the B movie, the kind of subgenre that it is, you have to kind of be interested in those types of flicks, especially in the world of horror, which you guys know that I am. So I love Ed Wood. It's my number three biopic from 1994. All right. So I'll tell you what, guys, we're up to our runner-ups. We're getting there. I'm impressed with everyone's picks thus far. A couple I got to rewatch. Amanda, what's your number two?
Well, my number two is The Social Network.
There it is. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, which, like Wesley said, it's a fantastic movie. I love David Fincher's direction in this film. The performances are great. I mean, I know not everybody is into Jesse Eisenberg, but he plays Mark Zuckerberg in this film so well.
Mm-hmm.
It introduced me to Armie Hammer as the Winklevi or the Winklevoss
twins.
Yeah,
Winklevi, yeah.
And Andrew Garfield.
Tremendous.
One of the first times I saw him was in this movie. It's, I mean, like Wesley said, it has been called like the movie of a generation. And I remember going to see this in the theater for the first time. And I saw it with a friend of mine from college. And the whole sequence where, you know, like it's showing like kids in college going like, oh, do you have Facebook at your college yet? And all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my freshman year of college.
Right.
Like,
right.
That was happening. And you had to, like, petition to get Facebook there. It's just, it's such a great movie. And the score in that film is phenomenal.
So it's my number two as well. Wesley, is it cool if I go ahead and just talk about it real quick and then you can give your number two? So my number two is also The Social Network. I mean, David Fincher is really the reason. I mean, just, I mean, he was able to take coding and building a, you know, what became a, you know, a social network website into an interesting kind of enthralling movie. And if you just think about that, that's crazy. You know, like kids writing code, you know, who wants to watch that for 2 hours, you know? And he made it a very interesting movie that you just kind of dove into and you wanted to know more about that world and the history of it. Nobody mentioned Justin Timberlake. I love JT.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he plays Sean Parker in the film, who was an early investor and obviously Napster fame. But I love JT. Andrew Garfield in this movie. I remember that year that was my performance of that year. I remember just being fucking floored by this guy. And I went to see a couple other movies that he was in just because of how impressed I was by him and The Social Network. And I mean, the scene when he goes to the headquarters at the end, when he finds out he's kind of been muscled out, and he approaches Zuckerberg when he's sitting at the desk and they have the kind of little spat. I mean, that's acting clinic right there. I mean, if you watch that 90 second scene, he's like, I'm coming back for everything, you know, and walks away. I mean, you get goosebumps, you know, and, and you see, and you see that friendship and all the history crumble before your eyes. And that performance was very powerful for me from Andrew Garfield.
You signed the papers. You set me up. You're going to blame me because you were the business head of the company and you made a bad business deal with your own company.
It's going to be like I'm not a part of Facebook.
It won't be like you're not a part of Facebook. You're not a part of Facebook.
My name's on the masthead.
You might want to check again.
It's because I froze the account?
You think we were going to let you parade around in your ridiculous suits pretending you were running this company?
Sorry! My Prada's in the cleaners! Along with my hoodie and my fuck you flip-flops, you pretentious douchebag!
Security's here. You'll be leaving now?
I'm not signing those papers.
We will get the signature.
Tell me this isn't about me getting into the Phoenix. I knew you did it. You planted that story about the chicken.
I didn't plant the story about the chicken. What's he talking about?
You had me accused of animal cruelty.
Seriously, what the hell's the chicken?
And I'll bet what you hated the most is that they identified me as a co-founder of Facebook, which I am. You better lawyer up, asshole, because I'm not coming back for 30%. I'm coming back for everything.
And, I remember thinking that was the worst snub of that year for him not getting a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Yeah, me too. I was very upset by that. I remember that. That's why I'm saying I thought that was the performance of the year, and I was like, what?
It's kind of like in a sense, kind of like I thought that was going to be our Brat Pack, like the 2000s Brat Pack. Like, because you have all these like up and coming actors that haven't done a whole lot, and this was like their coming out party, and I really thought. I mean, I guess it kind of is, but Andrew Garfield's the only one really, really still doing well. I guess Armie Hammer was in that movie last year, was nominated.
Armie Hammer? Armie Hammer, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So he was, he's kind of doing good. Jesse Eisenberg is, you know, kind of trying to get, I think he's trying to get out of the Zuckerberg role still. Because he's still, even in the Batman movies, he's still kind of Zuckerberg a little bit. So
he's I mean, he did it so well. I mean, he fit that role so well. It was almost like he was born for that role.
It's true.
I mean, it's just, again, this is something that happened in our lifetime, like Amanda was saying. So it's really cool to be like, oh, this is how I'm on Facebook. You know, this is what happened, you know, and to kind of get that history. Also, real quick, and then we'll go on to Wesley's number two, but The Score by Trent Reznor. I mean, just.
Right.
And Atticus Ross. I mean, just amazing score. The opening, you know, David Fincher has a knack for opening credits, which I've talked about with Andy before on a couple months ago. I named Seven as my favorite opening credit sequence in a movie, which is a Fincher film. But, you know, that opening scene at Harvard and just the camera following him through campus, you know, the breakup scene with, I think it's Rooney Mara in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's subject matter that you would never think would just grab your attention and you would just be mesmerized. But you are. And I feel like David Fincher really killed it with that. So Social Network is also my number two. All three of us cross over on that one. Wesley, why don't you go ahead and give us your runner up, buddy?
Well, I'll admit that Social Network is a better film than this. But I like this film a lot because I'm surprisingly kind of an Anglophile. I love like British history, particularly about the monarchs, even though they're probably assholes and they're probably a waste of money, but they are walking, breathing, living history. So it is interesting to me. I'm going to go with The Queen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I really like this film. I watch it a lot. Obviously, Helen Mirren, she wins Best Actress for portraying Queen Elizabeth, but that particular film works because it's about a particular point in time right when Princess Diana dies. So Princess Diana is not in the film, and it starts off with that moment happening. And so you get to see how the royal family reacts to the press, how the country at large kind of hates them, but also relies on them. Like they need the queen. It's a really weird dynamic. And Helen Mirren's so good at it. And the cinematography is phenomenal in it because there's a lot of opportunities for that. So it's a weird movie to have as my number two, but I really, really love it. I watch it a lot. So watch The Queen if you've never watched it.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I did not expect you to name that one. I saw that one in the theaters and I haven't seen it since. So I need to remember it a little bit better. But I do think Helen Mirren was phenomenal in it from what I recall. I like that one, man. That's a surprising pick from Wes, The Queen at number two. Amanda, you seen that one?
I have not seen that one, which is just... it's a hole in my viewing because I love the learning about the monarchy and I love mm-hmm. the show The Crown. I love that show. Yeah, it was just one I was in the midst of college and missed that one when it came out.
Gotcha.
What's interesting about this, so Alex Charles plays Prince Charles in, I watched The Crown as well. Yeah, I love that show, but Alex Jennings plays Prince Charles in this movie, but in The Crown, he plays King Edward that advocated the throne. So he plays two different members of the royal family in the film and in The Crown. But I was like, what's Prince Philip? Oh, he's not Prince. He's not King Edward. What's going on here? But, The Crown is better than the Queen, actually, I'll say. I can't wait till they get to this point in time in the show. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I've been enjoying The Crown as well. I need to catch up on a few episodes, but I do like that show a whole lot. All right, guys. Well, guess what? We're up to our number ones. Amanza, do you want to do the honors and give us what your number one biopic is of all time, I'm guessing, right? This is an all-time list, yeah?
I love this movie. Like I said, it was really hard to narrow down to five, but I love this movie. I've mentioned this movie in a top five on a previous episode with you.
With me? Oh, yeah. No. Wow.
It is, and I've mentioned the director already. It's Goodfellas.
Oh, there we go.
Really funny. Really funny. What do you mean I'm funny? It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
What do you mean? You mean the way I talk?
What? It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's funny, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Yeah, Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how? What?
Just, you know, you're funny.
You mean, let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little fucked up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you? I make you laugh? I'm here to fucking amuse you? What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
I'm not just, you know how you tell a story? What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
Get the fuck out of here, Tommy.
You motherfucker. I almost had him. Stuttering prick. Frankie, was he shaking? I wonder about you sometimes.
Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas, about Henry Hill and his rise and fall within the mafia. So I love this movie. So much of it has to do with Martin Scorsese's direction. It's just amazing that scene where it's one long tracking shot when Henry Hill is bringing, you know, at the time his girlfriend but eventual wife, like through the restaurant, and they go through the kitchen and then they come out and they're on the club floor, and like I love the way that shot is done. It's a brilliant film. It's another one. The soundtrack is amazing in this movie. Mm-hmm. The performances are great. I mean, you can't go wrong with Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
This is my number one.
Hey, look at that.
It is a, wow, we're in perfect harmony here. Yeah. Wesley, you go ahead and give your little love fest for it, and then I'll wrap up.
It's my second favorite film of all time, depending whether which day you ask me. 2A and 2B are kind of Goodfellas and Shawshank, right behind Back to the Future. But you mentioned the tracking shot. The movie is surprisingly quotable. Ray Liotta, you talk about someone who's born to play that role. I don't think he's ever come close to that ever again.
No.
For that. And then obviously Joe Pesci is phenomenal. I honestly think Goodfellas is better than the Godfather films. I really think that. I think the characters are better. That's why. If you're talking about filmmaking itself, yeah, Godfather probably wins. But because it's just so beautiful. But Goodfellas is just so good. Robert De Niro is amazing in it. And I watched this film a lot. And I only saw it one time. I was sick home from school when it came on TV. And I hate watching movies on TV because of commercials, even back 10, 12 years ago. And I've loved it ever since. So yeah, it's great.
I agree. It's also my number one. I didn't expect that. I thought Goodfellas would get mentioned, but I didn't think it would be all three of our number ones. So, I mean, the reason it's got to be my number one is because it does categorize as a biopic, basically about Henry Hill and, you know, what he went through to get in witness protection back in the day. So it is a biopic, so I had to put it on here. It, you know, our friends over in Australia, The Countdown, Wesley, I know you know them really well, but they are doing this thing where they want contributors to their show to give their top 10 movies of all time, and this is my number one. So The Goodfellas is my number one favorite movie of all time, of any genre. And I put it on the list that I sent to them as well. I mean, Martin Scorsese, and you guys have already talked about it beautifully, but the cast is just phenomenal. This is Joe Pesci's best performance. It's really the best performance that I enjoyed of De Niro's. I know people will mention Raging Bull and maybe a couple other things, but I enjoyed him the most. Godfather 2, yeah. But, you know, I enjoyed him personally the most in Goodfellas. I mean, Pesci alone is just, I mean, that's just watching his scenes on a loop would be enough for me in an afternoon.
Do I amuse you?
Right, it's great. And I, you know, I agree with you that Ray Liotta's never done anything even close to this, except for his current Chantix commercials. Pretty good.
Yeah. I put that on Facebook recently. How did you go from Goodfellas to Chantix? How did this
happen? Oh, did you?
Can we also mention Lorraine Bracco and how fantastic she is?
Great.
Oh my God.
When he hands her that gun and she looks at it, it kind of turned me on. I didn't know what to do. Like, she's so good in the movie, and the scene where she's like trying to get away from Robert De Niro and she's looking, they both do such a good job together of like not addressing what's about to happen. And yeah, she's really, really good in this film and in Sopranos.
And The Sopranos. Yeah. When I saw she was cast in The Sopranos, I was immediately like, yes, I loved her in Goodfellas so fucking much, you know? Yeah, she's awesome. So great flick. So Goodfellas, the trifecta there. We all chose that as our number one, and we all had The Social Network.
Have you ever had that happen before where everybody had the same number one?
No, I don't. Well, yes. You know what it was on? It was on 80s teen movies we all named Back to the Future.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's the only time in memory that's happened. So there you go. Goodfellas, number one for everyone. And, you know, I round out like a top 10 or whatever for honorable mentions. I kind of started doing that. So I have five more here that I didn't get to put in my top five. But if you guys have any honorable mentions, I'm going to let you go first. Amanda, what movies, a few of them that you didn't get to mention today that you'd like to shout out?
Yeah, a few of them. And I have so many that I could mention, but I tried to limit it. One from this year, which, you know, might come up again in a couple weeks for top movies of 2018, but Black Klansman.
No, okay.
About Ron Stallworth is an amazing movie. Again, direction, Spike Lee. To me, it's his best work. Honorable mention also, Jackie from 2016.
You know, I didn't love that, but her performance was amazing.
Right.
I felt like that was a performance that I would put in a top five, but the movie, I don't know, it was missing something for me.
I loved it. It's like it's a tone poem as a film. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it is not for everybody, but I loved that movie and how kind of strange it is at times.
Yeah.
And it's very moody. It's another one. The scoring is fantastic.
How didn't Natalie Portman win for that? Oh, that was Emma Stone's year, right?
That was Emma Stone's year. I don't
get that.
I thought Natalie Portman was better. I love her question. In that.
Best reenactment of the assassination scene, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. Jackie.
Yeah, it was good. That was good, yeah.
Amadeus.
I have that one on my honorables also.
I love that movie.
Never seen it.
It's a good one.
Oh my gosh. It's such a great movie. From last year, and I figured I wanted to honorable mention this one because I don't feel like enough people saw it, but Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
And it's about the guy who created Wonder Woman and then the two women that he was in a polyamorous relationship with. And it's a beautiful film. And then just to throw in another one, because there's so many great ones, but another one that I really love is Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah, that's a good one. I agree. Somehow Steven Soderbergh. I forgot about that. Yeah, Steven Soderbergh. That's a good film. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, nice pick, Amanda. And always, I love having you. You brought some great stuff to the table there. And we actually had a couple, you know, we don't cross over a lot, you and I. And we had
We usually have some differences, but appreciate each other's lists. So
that's right. That's right. Wesley, you got a few honorable mentions over there, brother?
Yeah, I'll go through it pretty quickly. I got David O. Russell's The Fighter with Christian Bale, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal. Mark Wahlberg, Amy Adams. Anything David O. Russell's kind of underrated, I think. He needs to win Best Picture at some point.
And that was another one of Christian Bale's best performances too.
Absolutely. He won for that one. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He was great in that. I mentioned I'm an Anglophile. I'm going to kind of keep in the same vein. I love The King's Speech. I know a lot of people think it's boring.
No, it's good.
Rush was great in it.
I freaking love that movie.
Yeah, that almost made my top five. That was like right there. Walk the Line. Joaquin Phoenix is another mm-hmm. one of my favorite actors. I love the music in that. I like that he didn't try to do an exact impression of Johnny Cash. And secretly, I like some of his versions of the songs better. I'm going to get hated for that, but it's true. It's just how I feel. But I love Johnny Cash though. Lastly, I'll do a movie from this year that I loved it, but I was very disappointed in it also because I'm a huge Apollo nerd and First Man. I'm not gonna say where that ranks for me all together this year because we'll address that, but I will say
that's one of the ones that I may or may not be able to see before we do the 2018 films. I did not get to see that this year, and I don't know if it's going to be available to stream prior to when we record, so I think it's not playing around here anymore. It's not playing around here anymore, but I didn't get to see that one. All right. Well, for honorable mentions for me, I'll round out my top 10. How about that? Yeah. So I got The Doors from 1991, which is another Oliver Stone film, obviously about Jim Morrison and The Doors and their rise to fame in the 60s. And then, of course, his tragic death at the age of 27. It's a very kind of fucked up acid trip. But again, the music is amazing. I've always been a huge fan of The Doors, really because my father was a fan of theirs and used to play their records when I was young. So when this movie came out, I remember having to sneak into the theater to see it. You know, we did one of those things where some friends of mine had older brothers that were seniors in high school, and I was a sophomore at the time. I wasn't technically old enough to buy a ticket to this. So they would do that thing where they went in and they opened the exit door and let us in. And this was a very taboo film back in 1991. Like there was
you
a lot of.
You just wanted to see shirtless Val Kilmer, didn't you?
Yeah, that did it for me. Yeah, and Meg Ryan.
I mean,
and
that's
Meg
why
Ryan.
I watched The Doors growing up. But.
Yeah,
well, it's The Doors and not Top Gun that does it for you.
Like, oh man, yeah, that oiled up chest might be better. You're right. Yeah. Let's see a movie called Blow in 2001, which I don't feel like enough people saw. Also starring Johnny Depp. It's got Penelope Cruz in there, but it's the true story of George Young, who is a guy that just kind of happenstance became the most prominent kind of drug smuggler in the 60s and 70s. And he brought in so much cocaine from Pablo Escobar. And he's been credited as starting what came the cocaine craze of the 80s in America because of so many pounds of coke that he brought into this country that, you know, there's some point in the movie where they say one of the federal agents or something says that every line of cocaine being done in this country, George Young had something to do with it. And it's just crazy to me.
So we would have no Goodfellas without him.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you might be right. You might be right. Yeah. Amadeus, which you already mentioned, from 1984. Love that movie. Milos Forman, just a great, just awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome the way they modernized such a classical story. But Amadeus is a great film. And then the last two I have on here, Wesley already mentioned Walk the Line. And for the same reasons, I love it. Love Johnny Cash. And Coal Miner's Daughter from 1980.
Yes.
Yeah, would round out my top 10. Just a tremendous story there with Coal Miner's Daughter. Sissy Spacek. All right, so that's our honorable mentions. Guys, I'm going to go over to Twitter. So we do this thing, the suggestion box, right? Let's see what you guys think of some of these. And I know Wesley might have a little commentary on one of these.
Yeah.
So our friends over the countdown said, does Braveheart count? And then they said, failing that, I would say Goodfellas, Schindler's List, and The Pianist. Real quick, I'll just say I'm surprised no one said Schindler's List. I thought that was going to be on everybody but mine's, to be honest. Wes, what do you think of the Braveheart thing? Because you said you might want to mention that.
Braveheart probably falls somewhere between 10 and 20 of my favorite films of all time. I love Braveheart. But the thing is with William Wallace, his story is they know he was involved. They know he existed. They know he did a lot of things and he was important. But it's almost like a Wild West figure where the story kind of gets blown out of proportion and it's hard to know what exactly he did. I think there's more historical accuracy with Robert the Bruce than there is William Wallace.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, they're two different types of movies, but I feel like Braveheart's the same kind of thing as Titanic, where it's like a real event, but they take they take kind of fictitious liberties with what was going on at the time. No, yeah, or yeah?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, because I've been to Scotland and done some stuff with William Wallace because my birth father likes to pretend we're related to him. But like Wesley said, it is a lot of, there just isn't enough like historical documentation about William Wallace. And there's a lot more proof about Robert the Bruce's role in history.
And then still staying on Twitter, Steve from Everything I Love from Movies wants to know if Lincoln counts, the Spielberg film Lincoln that came out about
How
5 years ago.
Mention that? Oh my God.
I thought one of you was going to say Lincoln, so I left it off.
Yeah, I said it. I told him on Twitter, I said it definitely counts. Daniel Day-Lewis and Spielberg, a powerhouse.
I love that movie. Yeah. Hell, you could have like a top five Spielberg biopic
list. He's my favorite director.
You could.
He's my favorite director.
You could.
Director.
We will do a, you know, I'm doing directors, but what I'm doing is I'm doing the best characters from their films. So we're going to start with Tarantino. We're going to do the top five Tarantino characters. And eventually we'll do the top five characters from Spielberg films as well, which is going to be a fucking hard list to narrow down.
I don't
even want to think about that today. I'll take a week off work to figure that out.
T-Rex, number one.
Let's see. Matt Lewinsky over on Twitter said La Bamba, which I'm surprised that we didn't mention either.
I don't like La Bamba.
Really?
I just didn't like it that much.
I love La Bamba. I think I saw it at a very impressionable age and it stuck with me.
Yeah.
But I love it, man. And then he's got Man on the Moon, of course, the Andy Kaufman film with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned The Doors, which, of course, I agree with. And then the last one I'll mention is Between Us Girls over on Twitter. And she said, what's love got to do with it? Obviously, the Tina Turner.
I've never seen that one.
I haven't either.
That's a good one. It's a good one. It's hard to watch at times, but it's a good film. It's a good flick. All right. I'll tell you what, guys. That's it. We're at 1 hour. We did it. We did our top five biopic films. A lot of movies fall into this category. Thank you to everyone for the feedback over on Twitter. And I'm going to let these two guys tell you where to find them. Amanda, where can they find you online, sweetie?
Yeah. My main podcast is Amanda's Picture Show A Go-Go. You can get a hold of me on Twitter. It's at Amanda's Pick Show. And then you can find that and my other podcasts on my website, AmandaAGogo.com. You guys like Goodfellas better than The Godfather. It's my favorite movie of all time. And I have a Godfather podcast over there. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. Godfather, though. Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might like Godfather 2 better. Don't tell anyone. I might like the sequel a little bit better.
It's a good argument. It's a great movie.
All right. Let's see. Wesley, where can they find you, brother?
So you can find me on Twitter at VHS. I'm bringing it back. It's coming out in January. Already did a lot of work on that. So VHS will be out soon.
You going to have me back on or what?
Whenever you want to be on.
I'm ready, dude. Yeah. Last time I went on with him, Amanda, we did Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I love.
Oh, my God. I love that movie so much.
Yeah. Go ahead, Wesley. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, no. You're right. Yeah, but y'all are welcome on anytime. But yeah, coming back out next month, and I'll be everywhere. We're on Spotify now, too, which is our hosting site said you can be on Spotify now. So now I'm finally there. So that's good.
That's cool, man. Yeah, us too. That's exciting. My daughter uses Spotify, so she's like, great, I can listen to your podcast now. But I don't think she's doing that. I think she's placating me. But whatever. It made me feel good. It made me feel good nonetheless. All right, so I want to thank these guys. Wesley and Amanda, you guys are awesome. That was our top five biopic films. Now, these two guys are going to be back in a couple weeks, and we're going to be wrapping up our best movies from 2018, which I'm excited about. I've got a few more to see, and I know these guys do as well. So we're going to try to cram as many as we can and put together a jam-packed show wrapping up 2018 as well. But thank you so much, Wesley and Amanda. You guys are awesome, and I love you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. That's it, guys. Look for all of our information in the show notes if you want to follow future episodes. We try to throw up a new top five every week. Sometime my partner Andy's with me, and sometimes I have on lovely guests like we did today. So that's it for this bonus episode of 2Ps. We'll see you guys next time.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.